Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Sign up for a 6-month bottled water contract for your home or office today and get your first 5-gallon bottle free. Visit watertomydoor.com and use code DRINKITIN at checkout.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
But I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. You can always find us, too, on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can also watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And today is April the 18th, and it is declared Lineman Appreciation Day in Mississippi. The Mississippi Public Service Commission has declared today as Lineman Appreciation Day, and I don't think anybody would disagree of the hard work that they do, and they rush out into the weather in which we are nestled in from, and we're very grateful when they're able to complete their job and get our lights and our normalcy sort of restored. So the proclamation comes as the commission's three members encouraged their fellow Mississippians to recognize and celebrate the hard work, that dedication, and really the essential role that linemen play in ensuring reliable delivery to residents and businesses, because, gosh, man, when that Wi-Fi goes out, like, it's just a whole nother world. Not even the lights. We could make it without lights. Now, I know, like, I'm not electricity. We could make it without lights, but it's the Wi-Fi that really sends everybody completely over edge whenever our lights go out.
Is there a shortage of playing cards I didn't hear about?
You know, I was trying to think back when.
Has the new generation never played solitaire?
No, they haven't.
At least that wasn't on a screen?
That wasn't on a screen, or try to find every candle in the house and, you know, have a little fun whenever the lights go out. I think we're so used to having background noise, something going, everything. We're completely freaked out. Maybe not. That's a little dramatic, but it just makes us uncomfortable.
It's pretty accurate, although from a different perspective, because here in the South, you can sleep through just about anything. Like a tornado a mile away, it sounds like a freight train, you'll sleep right through it. Thunderstorm right on top of your house, you can sleep right through it. The dog barking at the neighbor's house across the way, you can sleep through it. The second the power goes out and that fan stops turning, you wake up. Just bolt straight upright.
And for me, I mean, it's a sound machine. For others, it really is just an isolating fan or your ceiling fan or whatever, or just the AC or the heater, whatever may be on. But it is. It's just that background noise. And when it turns off, it's like, is this it?
What happened?
This is how we're going to do. But there are nearly 2,000 line workers currently employed in Mississippi. So today is your day that we appreciate you. We would love it if you could have a chilled and relaxed day, and we wouldn't need your services at all. And obviously, they don't just work whenever there's storms. That's just sort of the acute time that we really appreciate when they're able to rush in and help us out. So if you see one, it's also National High Five Day. So you can just marry those two right on together. If you see a line worker, a lineman, then give them a good old high five and get 2 days out of one, which each year National High Five Day is on the third Thursday in April. I just appreciate that it has the day. Like, it's one of my favorite, you know, you give a little high five. COVID completely ruined any open, like, handshakes or high fives. You now do the fist bump or, like, the elbow thing. Do people still do that? Or have we gone back to being able to shake?
It depends.
Depends on where you're at.
Like, usually if you come upon somebody and they're wearing a mask, you're probably not going to get a high five out of them. But, yeah.
I didn't know that there was actually folklore about the high five, like, where it came from and sort of behind it.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, there's a bit of debate over exactly who invented it, but it really is not as old as you would think it would be.
Well, I don't believe you. I'm not you. Like, whoever says that it's not as old, it may not have the terminology high five for that long, but you can't tell me that humans from, like, since they figured out they had hands, hadn't, like, been high-fiving or give a little slap
or
whatever.
Well, there have been salutations and greetings that have included the use of hands, but that's anything from a handshake to raising your hand in allegiance to, I mean, any number of things. But the actual clapping of palms together above your shoulders would relatively be new.
So there are two particular stories that lend itself to being the beginning. It's either during the 1977 regular season Dodgers game, Dusty Baker hit the home run that made the team the first in history to have four players with at least 30 regular season home runs. Woohoo! And apparently, as he rounded third and headed home, Glenn Burke waited at home plate to congratulate him. And in a moment, that is the Dodgers history, but was never televised. But Burke greeted his teammate by raising his hand, and then they slapped hands in a vigorous high five. That's one that says, but then another says, still in the 70s, so we can kind of sort of give high five its debut in the late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
During the basketball's 78-79 season, the University of Louisville basketball team switched up their regular low fives on the home court thanks to Willie Brown and Derek Smith. And that's all I have of that story. So I guess they just switched them sort of up that way. And the rest, as they say, would be history. What people do say can be given back is that sports influenced the high fives of the world. The high fives, the fanny spanks. I really appreciate the high five way over the, you know. So, I mean, you know, low five, high five. Which do you prefer? What do you go for? If you're going to give somebody, are you going high? Or are you, like, turning your hand over and going low?
I'm usually more of a nux person, but if I'm doing a five, it's going to be a high five, not a low five. I feel like a low five is reserved for little kids.
Oh, like that are smaller than you?
Yeah.
And so, like, here. But do you still?
You still say, give me five.
Give me five. So that's low
five.
Or
if you want to be slick, give me some skin.
Give me some skin. Did you ever play the game where you put your hands and you try to,
slap hands.
Slap hands in that way.
I always leaned more towards the Dusty Baker origin story. And that may just be Atlanta Braves bias because he got his career started with the Braves back in the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still rocking and rolling. I forget who he's managing now.
Well, that could be fair because one of the people of the Louisville basketball team of the 78-79 season may have seen the 77
Maybe.
High five and then brought that into sort of existence. But I am a big high fiver. I like it. I'm a hugger. I'm a high fiver. I shake hands, whatever. And especially like doing good, whatever. It just baffles me that wasn't like a thing. Prior to I'm not older. I'm almost as old. Almost as old as the high five. Math is hard. Wasn't born in the 70s, early 80s. But I mean, like, my mom's older than the high five. That just doesn't feel right.
Well, I mean, there were, like I said earlier, there were many ways you could greet each other with your hands, but it hasn't been until the last 7 or 8 decades that society tends to have big societal shifts and changes for things as simple as greetings. That turnover, that change happens much more quickly now than historically. So you look at the invention of the high five, and it's had its ups and downs as far as popularity. But it's still around, much in the same way the handshake developed, and it stayed around so long that you had all these different unwritten and sometimes written rules for when to shake hands, what to do before shaking hands, what to do while shaking hands. And I don't think society had gotten, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not lazy. That's not the right word. Comfortable.
Well, high fives, though, are like you could shake hands happy, sad, mad, you know, really want to fist throat punch them, but not, or like really want to hug them, but don't. But like high fives are like that. Yeah. Like yeah. It's more of like a celebratory thing. So I can see where it
but
comes
if you
from
did
sports.
That to somebody in, say, the 1920s, if you walked up with your hand up and made a motion towards them, that might be considered aggressive.
No, I was just joking. And then how awkward it feels for all of us to have went in for that high five and then got completely ghosted. And you're like, oh.
The only thing worse than that is just whiffing when you completely miss.
When you completely.
But you know how to stop that, right?
No.
How to never miss a high five? Obviously. Don't look at the hand.
What do you mean don't look at
it? Look at the elbow.
Look at the elbow. So like you go for the elbow.
If they got their hand up, look at the elbow. And if you focus on the elbow, you won't miss hands.
You won't miss hands. So when did the first fist bump start and where? Dwayne and Brandon said, I don't know. It's not fist bump day. I don't have all that information. They just gave me the information on the high five. But again, I go back to, I feel like humans have been somehow like, even cavemen, grunt, like, I mean, we, it's this moment of like, you know, you caught a big fish or you escaped a saber-toothed tiger. It's like, yeah, man, you see that high five, you know, like, I just feel like the high five went back so much further than the 70s and somebody just hasn't claimed it yet. And that's the only time we have it written down and called it something instead of just a, I don't know, whatever you would call it, a celebration and respects. But we're going to keep celebrating today. If you'd like to give somebody next to you a high five, go ahead. It's National High Five Day. But stick with us. We got more for you up next.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
To Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app, and you can always find us too on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV, and if we've got any fighting okra out there in the Good Things land, then today is your day, because we've got your president, Delta State President Dr. Ennis, in the house. We've got a great story coming up next, but you got here a little early, Dr. Ennis, and I said, you know what? We're just going to talk a little fighting okra today while we've got the time. So welcome.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for
having
me. And
you're new to Mississippi. So what brought you to the great state?
Well, I was working at a university in South Carolina called Coastal Carolina University. It's outside Myrtle Beach. And I was the provost there, which is the vice president for academic affairs. And I'd been there my whole career and started thinking about next steps. And I heard about the opening at Delta State for the presidency. Put my name in the ring. And a few months later, they were talking to me about the job. So it was an exciting journey for me and my wife. We moved to Mississippi in the summer of 23, so we've been there about 10 and a half months now.
So you've gone through the summer, so you already know what that's going to be like. You've been through a winter. How are you liking spring?
It's been everything. You know, we started off with a snowstorm and an ice storm, which everybody told me was unusual, but it shut us down for about a week as we cleared the roads up in the Delta. And then, you know, we had rain, we've had wind, we've had sun, we've had everything. So I like to feel like when we get around to summer, I will have had all four seasons plus about eight bonus seasons here in Mississippi.
Which, and you may have them all again before the end of the summer. You never know.
Absolutely.
So coming to the fighting okra, what was your preconceived notions of the Mississippi Delta, and then what have you been pleasantly surprised by?
So I had never set foot in the Delta prior to my interest in the job, so I had to sneak out here and look around a little bit. I knew a lot about the music, and I was an English professor by training, so of course I knew a lot about Mississippi's amazing literary heritage. I was so excited, you know, to come out to a place that had produced so many amazing writers that I had read and studied for years. So that was good. I knew that about it. I will say that I was blown away by the community, and you know, a lot of the South talks about hospitality, and mm-hmm. a lot of the South, including South Carolina, takes pride in being a hospitable place. But, you know, the whole town of not just Cleveland, Mississippi, although that's where we live, but all the surrounding towns and communities throughout the Delta were just so amazing and welcoming to my wife Jennifer and I. So we've been bought in and made part of the family, the larger family, and that was not what I expected. I knew we'd get some community support and some interest, but I can't go 10 feet without someone telling me they went to Delta State, mm-hmm. or their child went to Delta State, or their uncle went to Delta State, or they love Delta State, and it makes my life so pleasant to walk around wearing the Delta State green.
And which your shoes are even green, which folks can't see that on Super Talk TV, but you've been here in Jackson, obviously, up at the legislator doing that kind of thing. And I looked down, I was like, he's even wearing green shoes. I totally appreciate that. But it had to be interesting to come in as a Fighting Okra. Were you interested to find out the background of why the school had an okra as a mascot?
You know, that was one of the few things that was on my radar about Delta State. You know, I've been in public higher education in the South my whole career, and I, you know, studied other schools and been to conferences at other schools, but I recalled the Super Bowl commercial where, if you all recall, the Fighting Okra were featured in an ESPN commercial mm-hmm. during, you know, right there on TV, national TV. So, you know, I had in my head that unusual mascot, and then once it got out that I was coming here, a lot of people made connections for me. So, you know, the Fighting Okra is a wonderful thing. Our alums celebrate it, and the Statesmen, our traditional old line mascot. We're blessed to have two mascots, and they both have a lot to do with the character of the institution. So we're glad to put them out there as our symbols.
I feel like most listening to Good Things has heard of Delta State, sure. obviously, but I feel like we all lean to where our allies go in terms of Mississippi State, Ole Miss. So you may mm-hmm. miss, or for me, Southern Miss, but I do have Delta State ties, friends and family. You may miss some of the good things that are unique to Delta State. Like, I know it's the only Mississippi university with a commercial aviation school. I think that's super cool. What are some of those other nuggets that you just wish more people knew about Delta State?
So it's extraordinarily aligned to Mississippi's needs and the Delta's needs in particular. So the aviation program, that supplies pilots not just to national, international needs like Delta and UPS and FedEx and people like that, but, you know, a lot of agricultural aviation pilots are connected with our program. And so that means the food that you eat right here in the Delta, if it needed some agricultural aviation support for fertilizer or something, those pilots might have passed through Delta State in one way or the other, either for their degree or for certification and special training in agricultural aviation. And I've been told not to call it crop dusters, but that's what many of lay people might call it, especially people like me who don't understand the technical jargon around that industry.
What is the technical jargon?
Well, agricultural aviation is the proper term.
I would have never known what you meant.
Well, now you know, and now your readers know.
So your crop dusters out there, do not take offense to Dr. Ernest. Completely, yeah. Like, throw that back on me, because I'd have been like, what is that? But crop duster, yeah, I totally get that.
I think plenty of those crop duster pilots aren't worried about it.
But just, not worried about
when we fill out the paperwork for the approvals, yeah, and all, we've got to use the proper term. There's some federal money from our federal delegation. Cindy Hyde-Smith helped us out quite a bit, and the state legislature did, too, to help us buy planes and keep things going at aviation. But, you know, we've also, you know, been for generations, since our founding in 1924, the leading and most appropriate supplier of teachers, not just for the Delta, but, you know, all through Mississippi. And I tell you, our Delta State teachers are known around the state. They're sought after. And many stay in the Delta, as we're very happy for that, because our own schools need great teachers. But they're all out in Mississippi doing wonderful work. And we take great pride in our teaching program, because that's how we started. We were Delta State Teachers College back when they got things going. You know, our nursing program, you know, we wrestle with the nursing shortage in Mississippi like every other university. And all of us at both the two-year schools, the four-year schools, and everybody else who has an investment in healthcare know that we have to continue to produce great nurses. And our nurses are top-notch. They score extraordinarily well in their nursing degrees and the examination. And they're out there not just in our hospitals, but, you know, all through the state as well. So we're really excited. I love to brag about our Delta Music Institute, because that's, you know, that's something mm-hmm. no one else can have. It's impossible to anybody else but Delta State to have this conjunction of the great musical heritage of Mississippi, and particularly the Delta. And what we do there is, of course, we preserve and celebrate and uplift those extraordinary musicians that come out of our part of the Magnolia State. But also we train students in professional music development and engineering and recording. And some of the skills that you all use here in the radio station, those are skills that are still in demand, especially in this, you know, digital world with podcasting, with you know, apps like the ones y'all use at Supertalk, outdoor music festivals. Our folks learn about outdoor sound engineering. So the Delta Music Institute is a great fusion of business and practical, pragmatic skills and the ability to make sure that we always celebrate the extraordinary musical culture that we live with up there in the Delta.
And our broadcasting brother, Steve Azar.
Steve Azar.
Is a graduate from there, but also has his hands deep in then all that you do at Delta State, Dr. Ennis. And I think you're the only university that has a swim team also, too, correct?
Well, we've got an extraordinary swim program, I'll say that. And we sent, Delta State's a small school. It's, it's under 3,000 students. But, like that fighting okra with his fists up, we really punch above our weight class. And one of the ways that we excel at the national level is in swimming. And, with the collegiate swimming, there's not 18 different divisions and things like that. When our students go up to national championships in swimming, they're swimming against the biggest schools in the country. And they place every year. We have folks placing in the top 10, top 5. And some of them have won national championships. So, when they go up there and they're representing Delta State, they're not in some sort of small group. They're up there at the national championships winning, and we take great pride in that. And, for our swim team, too, that's a great way for us to enrich our student body. We have students from all over the world mm-hmm. who want to swim right there in Cleveland, Mississippi.
I was going to say, I grew up a swimmer, Dr. Ennis, and some mm-hmm. of my good friends chose to or got able to go and swim for Delta State, but there's not a swimmer in Mississippi that's not, at least in terms of club swim or all year, that doesn't think about going to Delta State or knowing that that's an option in state, or has spent weekends in Cleveland sure. competing in swimming.
Yeah, so many tournaments pass through our natatorium, and it's wonderful for us to see young, talented swimmers come through. Some come to Delta State, mm-hmm. some go on to other programs, but we're glad that they had a stop at the wonderful wonderful facility we have there up in Cleveland.
So for students who may be thinking about, gosh, graduation's right around the corner, they probably have already thought about it, but think about juniors going into their senior years. Do y'all offer all four-year programs, two-year programs, online options? What are those kind of options there at Delta State?
So we're a four-year university, so we're talking about bachelor's programs for undergraduates, and of course we do have online programs as well. And you're right, it's really juniors at this point. We of course will accept applications right up to the first day classes, and happy to talk to seniors who are still not there yet. But I just did a tour with our admissions group up it's kind of northwest Mississippi, and we did 9 high schools in about 3 days, and almost all the audiences we talked to were juniors. So parents out there, now's a good time for juniors to start thinking about next year, because those college applications come up in the fall. You've got to knock out that ACT and start making some college visits if you can. So for us, what we want to make sure people know is, we're a community. We're part of a town and a community that's really close-knit, and you can't get lost at Delta State.
You can't get lost at Delta State, and you're also, that community is such an important part, and you guys have really combined with a local community grade school for a good thing. We've got that and more with Dr. Ennis coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She looks healthy and sane.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Good Things, streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Ennis. He is the Delta State president. But joining us is also Dr. Lisa Bramucci. I got him. Get it right, Dr. Lisa. She's a superintendent of the Cleveland School District that went through a terrible time, and Delta State has opened its doors to house the Hayes Coopler Elementary students for some time. So welcome, Dr. Bramucci.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. We've kind of already caught up with Dr. Ennis. I know this conversation kind of starts with a unfortunate day in y'all's department. So sort of tell us what set the stage for the elementary students to need another home for a little while.
Yes, ma'am. We, of course, it's still under investigation, so the details have not been finalized, and it may take some time before we figure out exactly what happened. But there was some type of fire, and the term explosion has kind of been used a lot on social media, that happened in a classroom that affected another classroom, and our students had to be evacuated from the building, which we safely did in 18 seconds. Luckily, it was 7:25 in the morning of April 11th, so some of the bus students had not arrived, and students were not in that classroom, so we were very blessed that morning. It could have been a whole lot worse.
And you can imagine as a parent or just as a staff that time, if everything changes, right, sort of in an instant. You go into your fix-it mode and you try to get the kids safe and out. And then, you know, when the dust settles, so to speak, you have to figure out how do we move on in a normal way. How are y'all thinking about that? How are y'all thinking about getting the kids back to a normal rhythm?
Well, right now we're planning for the rest of the year to be at Delta State because until all of the investigative part has been completed, we cannot occupy that building. So now we're beginning to make plans for the summer and to see where we go from here.
So, Doctor, luckily,
Dr. Enos has been our friend from the beginning of the year when we had some air conditioner issues. He allowed us to have classes while they were putting new units in, and we've had a great partnership with them this year, and we are very lucky to have Delta State right here in our hometown.
So, Dr. Enos, when did you get word about what happened at Hayes Cooper Elementary?
Well, I was like almost everyone else. I saw it on social media, and of course, I didn't see the official report. I just saw parents on social media saying something's going on at Hayes Cooper. Luckily, my team, I think, had some contact with the district and had some students there. You know, a lot of our faculty and staff have students at that school. So I got the fill in, and you know, I was texting with my team, and I just, you know, reached out to my good friend and superintendent and said, I know you're busy, but if we can help, let us know. And that sort of didn't want to be in their middle of their crisis, but just wanted to let them know that we were there to be of assistance when we could be helpful.
And Dr. Bermucci, when you think about like Delta State, or you thinking about just being back into the community, I mean, this is exactly like what you think of. It's coming full circle. It's everyone sort of helping everybody in that time, and kind of next came with logistics. What were parents thinking about when y'all said we're shipping your kids to college, or, you know, we're skipping middle school and high school, and they're going to go ahead and start at Delta State?
I think there's been a lot of excitement. You know, when the students got off the bus the first day and the football team was there to greet them and the Statesman and the Okra, it's just been a phenomenal reception and a great way to get back to school. They have counseling services at Delta State that our students are afforded, and we, of course, have our own counselors. But, I mean, everything full circle has been like just been a blessing.
So where are they at, Dr. Enos? Like, where are they at on campus?
So we were very lucky that when, you know, we got word that this might be something that needed to be done, I had my staff. We were texting all through the days and the weekends looking at moving some folks. So we've got most of them in what would be appropriately our education building. You know, we have a terrific, you know, College of Education that trains teachers K through 12. And so that seemed like the best place because our student interns know that building well, and it's already got some of the accoutrements and things you'd want in a school. It doesn't have everything, but, you know, we have some lab classes in there. So, you know, our Ewing building became the main HQ. We do have some students over in our science building as well, but we tried to keep them. We couldn't get them all into one building, but we tried to keep them on one corner of campus where they can have mutual support for each other.
You went the extra mile by having the football team and everyone sort of come out. How were they excited to welcome the little ones? I mean, I just can't. I have an elementary, a sixth grader. She wouldn't, a middle schooler, but it's a sixth grader. She would just find that awesome.
Well, I want to give credit to our athletic director Mike Kinnison and head football coach Todd Cooley because, you know, I just was texting our whole cabinet over the period of time as the transition, trying to, you know, figure everything out from, you know, logistics to custodian to security to, you know, any repairs that need to be done. And on that text list was our athletic director, and so they thought it'd be lovely to have the football players come out. And, you know, was talking to the players before the buses pulled up, and just reminded them that, you know, to these young kids, these are superheroes.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, a lot of these, they're not all huge, but they're mm-hmm. they're big, strong, athletic guys. They're all wearing their game day jerseys, so they're wearing the green and white. And I just thought that as the kids were coming out of their cars and out of their buses, to just sort of feel protected in a good way, to say, look, all these people are here for you. In some way, we're hoping to make sure they felt safe. And nothing safer than having, you know, four big linemen walk you into
yeah.
class. And I noticed earlier you were talking about it being a high-five week.
It is. And it's high-five day.
Remarkable to see some of these little pre-K and kindergarten kids reach up and high-five one of our wonderful student-athletes. So that was a highlight of what was a pretty exciting day for everybody.
Dr. Bermucci, are you ready for them not to want to come back to school?
I think it would be great. A great partnership if we could come up with that, and I don't think anybody would be against it.
Yeah, well, do we hope or we see in the future that maybe we will transition back to the elementary school, that things will get fixed and repaired and sort of figured out? I know it's an ongoing story, but does it all look that way in terms of the next school year?
I can't answer that at this time until the investigation is
gotcha.
Complete. I wish I knew.
That's okay. That's cool. And if, yes, and then, but the beauty of this story is when a community was in need, then the college that was there was able to step up and open and afford the parents and the students the opportunity to continue their school year in a really unique fashion. So I think this is a really great story. And Dr. Bermucci, I appreciate your time, to come on and share, from the perspective of Hayes Cooper Elementary, and wishing everyone health, happiness, and figuring it all out.
Thank you, and I'd like to do a shout-out to mm-hmm. my two teachers that are in the Baptist Hospital, that we hope they continue to get well and get home to us soon.
Absolutely, yes. And Dr. Enos, this is just one of many ways I'm sure Delta State has sort of woven their way back into the community. Do you feel like because it is and when I say smaller, it just means smaller, and that it's able mm-hmm. to do that? You know, sometimes you get too big that you lose sight of the community around you. It does feel like Delta State's really nestled well into the community. Like, the lines are very blurred.
Yeah, one of my earliest meetings when I got to Cleveland is, you know, the superintendent and I had lunch, and we talked about how we were in the same business, and we were in basically the K-20 business, that we're responsible for kids in our region from the time they start school till they start their careers. And she's been an enormous part of helping me understand the community, and she's a great leader of the school district, and her teachers are remarkable. But in the larger sense, this is what a public regional can do. We're nimble. I mean, we didn't have a ton of bureaucracy or formality. You know, we could scramble. I mean, it was remarkable to see the students stepped up. I want to make sure they get a shout out. They were doing volunteers, and our student government president, Haley Rooks, directed student volunteers over that were able to, you know, help move furniture and do everything. Our public safety work with the Cleveland City. City of Cleveland stepped up and helped us with some traffic control and other things. So it really was, I mean, I'm glad Delta State was part of it, but it was all hands on deck. The parents stepped in. We've had other schools step up and help out with materials and lunch, and I think one of the schools sent breakfast over the other day. So it's just been really heartwarming to see everybody who could help grabbed the rope and started pulling.
And I forgot to ask Dr. Mucci, how many students is it? Because it's not a class. It's not like 30 students that is coming. Dr. Enos, how many are y'all housing at Delta State?
327 kids. So
yeah. So,
it's,
I mean,
remarkable.
It's remarkable. And someone mentioned, I'm so moved and proud of DSU, and they're reaching out to the Cleveland school community on our text line. And I think that all everyone listening sort of feels that way. You did say one thing about in terms of feeling safe. And so if parents are listening and maybe they have been reluctant, I'm sending their kids to a big four-year university, and they hadn't, and I hate to say the words, but didn't think about Delta State. What do you say to bringing them to campus, letting them look around, that maybe a little bit smaller, nimble in the way you mentioned it, university would be a good way to go?
Well, I mean, thank you for that. I tell you what, there are all kinds of students in America and in Mississippi, and there's all kinds of colleges. I had two daughters. One went to a big school, 20,000 students, and loved it. Another one needed a different experience and went to a smaller school. I think this family's like that too. So for students who are looking for a supportive environment, teacher-oriented, student-oriented, and where you know, you're not a number, and your professor's going to know who you are and what you're about and where your strengths and weaknesses are, a smaller school like Delta State is often the best choice for your future.
All righty. Well, I appreciate your time. Hopefully it's first of many. You stop back and say hi here and good things. You're always welcomed. You guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Keegan.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Pick me up, love.
Pick me up, love.
Pick me up from the bottom up to the top, love, every day. Ain't no mind to toss or advance it.
Welcome back to Good Things. Hope you know we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that app. We hope you have downloaded that. Always know we're on your local Supertalk station, and you can watch us on Supertalk TV. There's still time to get in on the Margaritaville Resort and Paradise Pier Fun and Park and Biloxi, along with Supertalk's Mississippi's Taylor Swift and a cash gift. You can still get a pair of tickets to see Taylor Swift's Eras Tour at the Superdome in New Orleans on Saturday, October the 26th, plus $1,000. If you want more information on that, go to supertalk.fm/Taylor Swift to find the full list of registration locations and more information. I was happy to get a high five from Dr. Enos as he was leaving here today. Have you gotten your high five today? You should. It's National High Five Day. So just go on and have a good time with it wherever you feel the need to sort of throw it up and get it. But another day that I love that I think gets underappreciated, and that's National Animal Crackers Day. Were you an Animal Crackers fan growing up?
Oh, yeah.
I've never met an animal cracker I don't like. So let me just go on and put that out there before I get some hate. But the ultimate animal cracker experience is getting the animal cracker box that opens, and it's like the little, and you get to pull them out.
I thought you were going to say iced animal crackers, and I was going to agree with you.
Okay, well, can I have two ultimates? Because those are really good, too. But it was the fun of being a kid and getting the little box that looks like...
Yeah, it looks like The train car,
and then you would open it up, and then, you know, you would go through, and it was always devastating if one was missing a head or a limb, even though you're about to bite them off, because even though you were sad the head wasn't there, you were excited to, like, off the, you know, the head of the, you know, the whatever, the monkey or the elephant or whatever it may be that was coming out. And then you fast forward, and you have the kind that come in, like, the big barrels.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The big barrels, and they're
which
a little puffier.
Those, yeah, they don't have nearly as much definition in the actual animal cracker. Like, if you get the little box, mm-hmm. the little red box with the cage on the side, you can tell the difference between a horse and a donkey if you get mm-hmm. a horse and a donkey cracker. You get the big bag or the barrel, you just got an animal that's roughly shaped equine.
Yeah. It looks like a cookie cutter went wrong. It just kind of sort of.
I think the worst one is the elephant trunk. Like the you get the little red box, and then again, I haven't had a little red box of animal crackers in forever. I could be talking out of my, you know what, but what I remember is the elephant was clearly, like, you could see tusks. It had a trunk. It looked like an elephant, and then you get the one in the big bag, and it looks like the elephant has an infection in his trunk or something. It's just this blob hanging off the front.
And for something, I guess, is it a cracker? Is it a cookie? What is it? I don't know. But it's delicious with peanut butter or, like, other kinds of like, fruit-style dips. It's one of those things that, like, would pair really nicely with fruit or cheese or whatever for a kid. I feel like they're less sugary, so you felt better about giving your kid animal crackers than just handing them over Oreos or chocolate chip cookies or whatever it may be. But they really don't have, like, a ton of... I mean, there's flavor there. They're good. I don't tell.
I think that's why they're still considered a cracker.
Is that why they're still?
Because they're a little sweet, but they're not sugar-based like a cookie.
I agree with that.
They're more of a sweetened dough that's layered and baked.
So if you get the iced ones, is that not considered a cookie at that point? I mean, an ice cracker sounds disgusting. It does. Nobody puts icing on a cracker. That's gross. I can't think of one.
Unless you have peanut butter between them and you're dunking it.
Everything is good with peanut butter. Agreed. Try animal crackers with chocolate icing. The best.
Yeah, that's a much better combination than just the chocolate animal crackers.
Name another cracker you would put icing on. I'll sit here and wait.
I'm not going to lie. It would probably be good on a club cracker because a club cracker is good with everything.
I'm not going to give you that. That's not fair. Okay, graham cracker.
Graham cracker.
So, like a graham cracker. Okay, I was like, so a graham cracker is that weird? It's not a cracker, but it's not really a cookie.
It's shaped like a cracker.
It is more shaped like a cracker. Tastes more like a cookie. An animal cracker is shaped more like a cookie. It still don't taste like a. You blind test saltine crackers and animal cracker. There's zero comparison to that. But a graham
cracker. Or is that just bias because we're so used to saltines being the cracker? Like, what if saltines had never existed and we thought of crackers as Ritz, where they were round and buttery? Would this conversation be the same?
I don't know. I hate celery, but I'll eat it with peanut butter. Enough peanut butter would make anything taste good. I agree with that. All righty. Y'all stick with us. You got more coming up next. You got the boys with Sports Talk Mississippi. They'll be with you from 3 to 6. But Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Good things for you. Good things for you. Here good things for you.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.